Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Wednesday, we're live at the Renaissance Hotel, the Predators Golden Hall. Coming up a little bit later today, but now we continue the football discussion with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Always enjoy this. Let's start with the news that I don't think anybody was really that surprised about. The New England Patriots have hired Mike Vrabel to be their head coach as he will replace Gerard Mayo after 1 year. Vrabel returns home, so to speak. What do you think about that move, and how successful do you think Vrabel can be with his old team?
I think this, that Mike went into a perfect situation. He has an owner he knows, an owner who thinks highly of him, an owner who's been very stable throughout his ownership. The fan base wanted him. The media wanted him. He goes in with almost $100 million in salary cap room. He's got the first – he's got, the fourth pick? I think it's fourth. And he's got a quarterback in Drake May. So it's an ideal situation. Now, I've heard two people in ESPN this morning saying they think the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. Well, how can you know? They haven't had a draft. They haven't had an off season. They forget Mike's last 2 years with the Titans had losing records. I'm not saying they can't do it. Everybody said Sean Payton couldn't do it, and he made the playoffs. And it just depends on the players you put around Drake May, and they need a lot of help there. But I think Mike will be in for the long haul, which means in the NFL, if he can make at least 5 years. And I'm happy for him. I know he did not want to get fired from Tennessee. He and his wife, Jen, they loved it in Nashville, as everybody does. And I wish him the best of luck and hope it works out. He's in a division where he'll have to overtake Buffalo or be a wild card. But I'm very happy for Mike Vrabel.
Looking at the other team that is in the state you're in, the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys part ways. They can't come to an agreement on a contract extension, so now McCarthy's free to go elsewhere. There's Deion Sanders rumors with Dallas. What do you think Jerry ultimately does?
Well, I don't buy Deion at all. I think that's being hyped up to help him get more money in Colorado. And Jerry Jones has never paid a buyout. Deion's, what, $8 or $9 million? People in the media know, I know up there have covered that team forever, say Jerry will not pay a buyout. And that's mainly media hype being done by ESPN, NFL Network, things like that. I think Mike McCarthy would have gone back if they could have worked out the contract. Jerry Jones wanted to take a short deal, which I'm guessing would be like 3 years, and wanted him to put in a lot of incentives in there, and he didn't want to do it. I'm guessing McCarthy wanted a five-year deal like most of them got. D'Amico Ryan's got a six-year deal here because every team that had an opening was interested in him, and Nick Sirianni had been given a six-year deal as general manager who has in his contract. He has final say on everything. One of the things about Vrabel, he's working with Elliot Wolf, Ron Wolf's son, who came up under his dad at Green Bay, and he's had two or three jobs. Elliot's right-hand man is former Oilers running back, longtime scout, and longtime executive with the Packers, Alonzo Highsmith. So I know three times general manager Rick Smith of the Texans tried to hire Alonzo Highsmith, who always kept his home in Houston, and Ted Thompson, Packers' late great GM, just told him, no, I know you want to go home, but I'm not letting you out of your contract. You're too valuable to me. And I think that will really help Mike Vrabel behind the scenes, having a guy like Alonzo Highsmith there. I think I was asked for a Talk of Fame column today about who I thought would be ideal for Jerry. Well, he could go for a former coach like he just did with McCarthy, or he could go for a coordinator. I think Kellen Moore, who spent 8 years with him, three as a player, five as a coach, Dak Prescott, they won 12 games 3 years in a row with Kellen Moore running the offense for Mike McCarthy. He left there. He went to the Chargers. This year he's with the Eagles, so he has experience working under other head coaches. He knows Jerry Jones, and more importantly, Jerry knows him. Problem with Deion, if just these rumors, it's the biggest story in the country, and as soon as Deion signed with the Cowboys, he'd be the star. Sure. We all know there's only one star at the star, and that ain't going to be a head coach.
That's a great way to put it. John McClain is joining the People Show, the Chase and Big Joe Show here today. John, my friend Dale Moles want me to ask you this question. The A.J. Brown reading the book on the sideline, he said in all your career, John, what's the one quirk of a player that you still remember from the Oilers days where they did something in-game that was just really out there? Does anybody come to mind?
You mean besides one coach throwing a punch at another coach during the game? I saw receiver Haywood Jeffries throw Gatorade in the face of offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride on the sideline. Every once in a while, you'd see somebody eating something on the sideline. But I've never, in 48 years of covering the NFL or been watching football closely since I was a kid in 1960, seen a guy reading on the sideline. And don't you know that author? He's got to send a big Christmas gift to A.J. Brown because he jumped up to number one on Amazon's bestseller list. But I think it was just so strange, and it got so much attention. Now I'm eager to see, will he do it again? Will he not do it? Is he under pressure to do it? And because he said it had nothing to do with him being frustrated because he had one catch for like 10 yards. But, man, I've never seen anybody get so much attention for reading a book.
We totally agree. You know, and we covered AJ when he was here for the 3 years from 1920 to 21, and he was different, which is not bad. He was just in his own kind of world doing that. John, the Rams on Monday night, and Chase made a good point. There was no way they were going to lose that game with all that was going on in Los Angeles. And I'm telling you, I mean, I think Sean McVay is a very underrated coach. Matthew Stafford's a very underrated quarterback. And I'm secretly, John, kind of rooting for the Rams now.
Well, I would beg to differ. Both of them are rated as great. I don't think they're underrated. McVay's been known as one of the greatest coaches since he went to the Super Bowl. Wade Phillips was a defensive coordinator. It was the best defense ever played against Brady and the Patriots. Boring as hell, and the Patriots won. Then he won a Super Bowl, and he's got a great coaching tree for somebody who's still so young. And Matthew Stafford, you know, he won a Super Bowl when they traded for him, which worked out great. They've rebuilt in a hurry. You know, they missed those picks for a long time because they traded them for veterans, but man, they've hit home runs in their defensive line in the last two drafts, and you saw a great example in that Monday night game when they had 9 sacks. Tell you what, I don't know that anybody wants to play the Rams right now because they got it going on, and they were so motivated in that game. I hated to see them have to leave, but boy, the Michael Bidwell did more for the Rams than he's ever done for his Cardinals. And sent planes. They had buses coming over from L.A., and they just did a fabulous job, and that is a dangerous team.
Yes, they are. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're at the Renaissance Hotel today, Predators Golden Hall. But continuing our conversation with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised your team's playing this weekend. I thought that, you know, the Chargers were the better team going into that game, but I was very impressed with the way that the Texans played, especially in the second half, and now they have a date with the Chiefs.
I'm shocked. I picked the Chargers to win by 7, and I had not seen any indication this season Texans were capable of playing like that, in which all three phases contributed to what turned out to be a blowout. Defense held them in early. First five series for the offense were awful. 2 turnovers, 3 punts. And then that one great play that C.J. Stroud made, it's been all over the internet and on TV. in which the ball went through his hands. He wasn't looking for the snap. He chased it, picked it up, ran to the right, three Chargers on top of him for the last instant. Threw it down the field, 34-yard gain to Xavier Hutchinson. It totally transformed the offense. And from that point, they didn't let up. You know, Justin Herbert, there were two things that surprised me. Number one, he threw four interceptions after throwing three during the season. But he also did not run for the first time this season. And he's a really good runner. They had a great defensive game plan that kept him bottled up. And the Texans committed three turnovers. You don't generally commit three turnovers in a playoff game and win the blowout. But now they go to Kansas City. They're better off going to Kansas City to play the top seed than they would have been playing Baltimore again, because Baltimore beat them 31-2 in the next last regular season game. And since Lamar Jackson's been there, the Ravens are 5-0 against the Texans with an average victory margin of 18 points. So they go to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, it just blows me away. Every year since he's become the starter, that was 2018, he's 6-0 in those games. And in those games in which he's 6-0, he has 16 touchdowns, no interceptions, 70% completion percentage, and a 115 rating. And those games are all played at home. So the only thing I could see that the Texans would have a chance, and I'm picking I think I'll pick the Chiefs by a touchdown again, is if the long layoff could hurt. It's almost 3 weeks since those starters have played. And sometimes we saw this 1 year when the Colts were 14-2 under Tony Dungy, and he rested Peyton Manning and his starters. Turned out the 3 weeks they get in the playoff game, they're like the first preseason game. Dungy said he made a mistake doing 3 weeks. So that's the only way Texans would have a chance to win, unless the Chiefs had a massive team-wide case of food poisoning that didn't allow them to go to Arrowhead Stadium and they had to forfeit.
My goodness, John, Sunday, Bills-Ravens. Just saying that, I mean, that game should be an epic one with these two great football teams going head-to-head. I mean, this might be the best game of the weekend. Your thoughts on Bills and Ravens?
Oh, absolutely, Joe, the best game. That's why they have it on primetime. The ratings should be through the roof. The two great quarterbacks going to finish 1-2 in MVP. I'm guessing it'll be Lamar Jackson. It'd be weird to have your first-team All-Pro quarterback not get the MVP. And the people that vote on the MVP are the ones that put him first-team All-Pro quarterback. So Josh Allen ought to have a little chip on his shoulder. I picked Baltimore before the season, and I'm sticking with them. I thought I did last season. And they get to the AFC Championship game at home and lose to the Chiefs. So it's hard to win in Buffalo, but I'm going to stick with Buffalo and Kansas City playing again in the AFC Championship. Baltimore and Kansas City playing in the AFC Championship game again.
John, why should the Lions be scared of the Commanders?
I guess because with Jaden Daniels, he's like young and dumb and doesn't know what he doesn't know. He's fearless. They've won like their last five games at the end, and he's fearless. He's capable with his arm, with his legs. He's a cool, calm, and collected no matter what the situation is, and he's got a great receiver. Terry McLaurin is catching the ball all over the field. Now I think Detroit will win the game. I think Detroit is getting healthy. The way Detroit beat up on Minnesota was so impressive, and I think they'll get after him. But what Daniels is doing reminds me of C.J. Stroud last year, but Stroud didn't win all these games right at the end. He won three like that, but not like Jaden Daniels. I can't wait to see that game too, although I think they all pale in comparison to Buffalo and Baltimore.
John, if Dan Campbell makes another boneheaded decision of a onside kick halfway through the game or a two-point conversion that costs his team a victory, I know this is hypothetical, what do you think the fallout is?
I think that he will get eviscerated. Now, he's not going to have an onside kick again. He admitted that was a mistake because you have to tell him you're going to do it. So what gets me is him going for fourth and two on his side of the field, And if they get stopped, then you're giving up the easy touchdown or field goal. And that happened to him last year, and he took a lot of criticism. And you think sometime you got to exercise common sense, and you don't want to be Dan Gamble. And that's his nickname. And people love it when it works. But, man, to think you lost a trip to go to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl because of calls like that, which happened last year, I think people would give him a hard time if he did. But I think he gambles way too much.
Real quick, John, before we let you go, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's gotten a lot of criticism, and some of it is warranted. I mean, they've had, what is it, six straight playoff losses. They ended the season on a losing streak. You know, he had no response when he was asked questions about his job security. Should he be, you know, and it's the Steelers. The Rooneys don't fire coaches. They've had three in the last, whatever, 70 years or what it seems like. But should he be worried going into next season? And maybe is it time for a change in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think he needs to take a long look at his philosophy. Their defense wasn't as good in December and January as it had been traditionally. You could always count on a great defense. Offensively, they need to rethink what they're doing. Yeah, he gets a lot of wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, who are not part of the culture. You know, they're problem kids, and he'll take anybody. And sometimes you can't preach the culture to everybody else and rules and let one guy break it. And when Mike Munchak left the Steelers as the offensive line coach to go to Denver to be closer to his kids, their line has not been the same. If I'm Tomlin, I'm calling Mike in Denver, and I said, Mike, here's a blank check to come back. Just tell me what you want.
I'd love to see that because we love Mike Munchak for sure. John, always appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Enjoy the playoffs.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us every Wednesday at 9:30, and, of course, we'll get a full breakdown of Divisional Weekend with him coming up next week. Cool event going on at our title sponsor, the Omni Hotel tonight.
Yeah, as always, you do once a month. It's a songwriter night called This Bar Could Talk, songs and stories from bar lines. It is absolutely free with some of the top songwriters in the city. Nikki Allen, Sarah Murray, Paige Penny, Ethan Snyder. Come on down tonight and hang out. It's free at Bar Line. Starts at 5 o'clock at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Always a fun event. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, there is where you need to go. It's going to be a lot of fun, too. We'll be down there tomorrow and Friday as they reopen Kitchen Notes, right?
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to being there tomorrow and Friday. Today, we're just up the street at the Renaissance Hotel as they're getting ready for the Preds Golden Hall Luncheon. David Poyle, Pecorino, Shea Weber will all be here, and they're going to join us at some point, either in our show or at the beginning of DVD. But looking forward to that as we're live here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.